Hello, Grace Church. This is Nathan again with our fifth installment, our fifth podcast. A podcast, like I've said, where we are seeking to get instructed by the Heidelberg Catechism. So let's continue our look at question one. And so I hope you have your Bibles and catechisms out in front of you, and we'll read question one again. All right, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. And today, we will finish out question one by looking at this last sentence. Because I belong to him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Are you assured of eternal life? Are you confident that you belong to Him and you are not your own? Do you find security in your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that fully paid for all your sins, that has set you free from Satan, that watches over you down to the smallest detail? Are you assured by the fact that God tells us that all things must work together for your salvation, my salvation? This is so assuring, so comforting. Let's ask a few questions. Has God given you a spirit of slavery that leads to fear and being worried all the time? Has God made you sons and daughters and then left you out to fend for yourself? Has God given you His Spirit to then just sit around and to constantly complain and murmur and talk about how life isn't fair and grumble about this time that He has us in? Is that why He resides in us? To be unsure if He loves us? Has God done all this for His people to then to just say that these last few steps are up to you? Hope you can complete them by yourself. Those are ridiculous questions, aren't they? Because you belong to Him, the Holy Spirit assures you of eternal life, makes you wholeheartedly, totally, entirely ready to live for Him. And God's Word tells us something very similar. In Romans 8, 15 through 16, Paul says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are in fact children of God." Guys, we are His children. Our Father is no longer Satan, but is God. Fear not, worry not, fret not. God has adopted us, and by His Spirit, we are in distress. When we are in distress, we cry out, Abba, Father, Dad, help. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22, "Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." And again, 2 Corinthians 5, 5, "Now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge." God has sealed us and gave us His Holy Spirit to assure us. Assurance of salvation. Is it our faith that we feel secure in? No, it's Christ's work. Remember, He has fully paid for all my sins. He has set me free from the devil. He watches over me. He works all things together for my salvation. Now that I belong to Him, the Holy Spirit makes sure I know I do. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge," or you could say a guarantee, "of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." God again telling us that we are preserved. We are sealed until we reach our inheritance. John MacArthur in his study Bible says this about this verse. He says, "The sealing of which Paul speaks refers to an official mark of identification places on a letter, contract, or other document. That document was thereby officially under the authority of the person whose stamp was on the seal. God has put His seal of approval on us. That's where the comfort comes from. It comes through the work of the Spirit. It is God who will see His good work through all the way to the end. You have often heard that the one who justifies you is also the one who sanctifies you, and that's God. God will make sure the good work that He began will be completed to the end, and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That part there where it says from now on to live for Him makes me think of those who say, you know, when I was 12, I had a confession, or I walked the aisle, or I signed the card, but would admit, you know, to you that they hadn't even been to church in, say, a number of years. And it makes you think for a minute that Scripture tells me that I will live for Him, that I will work for Him from that time on. And now, is that going to be perfectly? No, not at all. But the direction of that type of life, the Christian life, will be evidently clear from your direction of your previous life. So from now on, I live for Him. So the question is, how are you living for God now? Not when you were 12, not when you were 18. How are you living for God now? So to recap question one, comfort consists of five parts. Number one, at salvation, you are reconciled with God through Christ. You are no longer an enemy. You are sons of God, and you belong to Him now. That's comforting. Another aspect of comfort that comes from the fact that not only did God reconcile you, but delivers you from the power and bondage of Satan so that death no longer is master over you. The third aspect of comfort comes from the fact that God preserves us. As John MacArthur often says, if I could lose my salvation, I would. But we are God's property now, and He owns us, and our safety lies with Him. The fourth part of comfort comes from God taking the bad things that happen in our life and turning them for good. These things don't take away from our salvation, but they actually contribute to it. All things work together for good. And the fifth comfort comes from our desire to obey God and to please Him. That's comforting and assures us of our own salvation. Because if you think about it, were you trying to please God before your salvation? Now, you might have been trying to work and earn His grace, but what I'm talking about is the desire to obey God from gratitude and delight and not from some list. The God you once hated and did not like to obey is now the God you now love and the one you don't want to sin against. Assurance, comfort in knowing that and seeing your desires have been changed. And why were your desires changed? Because your heart was changed. In his commentary on the Catechism, Zachariah Ursinus ends with this question one in his commentary, and I would like to end with it as well. And this is a dialogue between Satan and the Christian. So Satan says, "You are a sinner." To this, comfort replies, "Christ has satisfied for my sins and redeemed me with His own precious blood, so that I am no longer my own but belong to Him." Satan says, "But you are a child of wrath and an enemy of God." Answer, "I am indeed such by nature and before my reconciliation, but I have been reconciled to God and received into His favor through Christ." Satan says, "But you shall surely die. Christ has redeemed me from the power of death, and I know that through Him I shall come forth from death unto eternal life." Satan says, "But many evils in the meantime befall the righteous." Answer, "But our Lord defends and preserves us under them and makes them work together for our good." Satan says, "But what if you fall from grace of Christ? For you may sin and faint, for it is a long and difficult road to heaven." Answer, "Christ has not only merited and conferred His benefits upon me, but He also continually preserves me in them and grants me perseverance that I may neither faint nor fall from His grace." Well, Satan says, but what if his grace does not extend to you and you are not of the number of those who are the Lord's? Answer, but I know that grace does extend to me and I am of Christ because the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And because I have true faith for the promise in general extending to all them that believe. Satan says again, but what if you have not true faith? Answer, I know that I have true faith from the effects thereof, because I have a conscience, and my conscience is at peace with God and an earnest desire and will to believe and obey the Lord. Satan says lastly, but your faith is weak, and your conversion, well, it's imperfect. Answer, yet it is nevertheless true and unfeigned. And I have the blessed assurance that to him that has shall be given. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Well, there you have it. The first question of the Heidelberg Catechism and answer. What a great question and what an even better answer. And I hope this first question has been an encouragement to you. And next time we talk, we'll look at question number 2.